20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. I just want to say, I want to thank you, and I want to let you know that you guys are the sickos, and I love that about you, because you're here on a Monday following a three-game losing streak, still ready to talk Packers, still ready to learn all there is to know about what's going wrong with this team, what's going right with this team, and everything in between. We've got our great guests coming up throughout the course of this week as well. Justice Mosquito will be here tomorrow. Mike Wall today at 1 p.m. Central Time for Pack-A-Day Live. We'll have Carmen Vitale later in the week. So we're still going to break this all down. I get that it's been a frustrating few weeks, to say the least. But today we're going to be taking a look at what's gone wrong. Everybody, and I mean everybody, wants to point fingers right now and say who should be gone and who's at fault. Well, let's look at it in great detail today as to exactly what has gone wrong that has forced the Packers to be in the position that they're in right now as the number seven seed, having to go on the road and losing three of their last three games, and potentially with this Minnesota game coming up, probably losing four of four. We'll talk about that in just a moment as well. But this is all going to come down to how Green Bay plays in the playoffs. But right now we're going to look at it and say, what is going wrong? Because if you don't look at what's going wrong, you don't know what needs to be fixed. And if you don't know what needs to get fixed, it's unlikely that it's going to get fixed. Now, not that we can solve the problems anyway, but we can keep an eye out for, are these things actually being addressed or not? And then when we have that idea, we can keep an eye out. And if it's not, all right, well, then there's obviously some sort of systemic issue that is causing this, whether that's general manager, whether that's head coach, whether that's something outside or in between it. We'll be able to identify that a little bit better as time goes on. But for the here and now, I think the most important thing is to identify what exactly has gone wrong with this current iteration of the Green Bay Packers. Now, before we get there, huge shout out to new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, Bill Whipperman. Bill, thank you so much for signing up. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, make sure to do so. Also, if you have a quick second, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, or give those five-star reviews on the audio channel. Those help the channel out a ton and make it more likely that other Packers fans will find us here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast as well. Also wanted to quickly go over the updated playoff picture for Green Bay specifically. The other day we talked about the five different teams that Green Bay could ultimately play still in the playoffs. We are down to two. There are only two teams that Green Bay can play in the wild card round. They will either be going to Chicago or to Philadelphia. Those are the only two teams that Green Bay can play in the first round. Here's the scenarios. If the Bears win against Detroit in the final week of the season, Green Bay will be headed to Chicago. That's the simple one, all right? If the Bears lose, then it comes down to the Eagles game. If the Eagles lose to the Commanders, Green Bay would still be going to Chicago. If the Eagles beat the Commanders, Green Bay would be going to Philadelphia. So overall, pretty simple. Only two teams they can play, either Philadelphia or Chicago. Chicago has the first right of refusal, if you will, or the first ability to get there and clinch it. If they beat Detroit, they're the two seed. Simple as that. If they don't, then it's in Philadelphia's hands. If they win, they're the two seed. If they don't, then Chicago reverts back to the two seed. So either Philly or Chicago is where Green Bay's destination will be on wildcard weekend. Their destination in week 18, we know, is against Minnesota. We now know that it is a noon Central Time game this upcoming Sunday. This is going to be a craptastic week 18 exhibition game that does not matter for anybody. And if you are wondering whether or not Vegas thinks if Green Bay is going to sit their players or not, well, the Minnesota Vikings open as 6.5-point favorites in Minnesota next week. All indications are, per reports, even though Matt LaFleur refuted those reports, that Green Bay is going to rest key players in this game. And Matt LaFleur again refuted it and said they hadn't made a decision yet, but he kind of let a little slip. And maybe it wasn't, but the way I kind of read it, at least just reading between the lines, is he said they were not going to make any sort of final determination until they spoke with the players. So this would tell me that he wants to have that meeting with the players and tell them first and say, hey, this is what we're going to do this week, and have the, you know, probably the leadership, you know, players on the team and captains and things like that, be able to kind of talk that out and have that discussion first before he just announces it to the world, and then the players react to it and, you know, things like that. So I think he just wants to have that discussion with the team first, but all indicators are that Green Bay is going to rest their starters. Personally, I think that is 1,000,000,000% the right way to go. I talked about this yesterday, so I'm not going to go on about it today. There is no advantage to playing anybody. I'm not concerned about rust for Jordan Love. I'm just not. He's at the point in his career where I trust him to go out and play good football pretty much no matter what. And if you go out and have this in-between moment, again, I kind of talked about this the other day, but if all of a sudden you go out and you play, you're going to say, well, we're going to play him a series. And then you go 3-and-out. Are you going to stick with that? Did you feel like you worked the rust off on your 3-and-out series? You can't script this. And you're going against Brian Flores in a madman, mad hatter, you know, crazy defense that's probably just going to go out and say, all right, well, you know what? We're just going to blitz the hell out of Jordan Love while he's in there. We don't care about anything else. This game doesn't matter. So we're going to go down and we're just going to try to kick the crap out of your quarterback. Wouldn't surprise me if Minnesota tried to do something like that, especially Brian Flores. And again, if you go 3-and-out, all right, well, then we got to bring him out for another drive. And let's say you get a 6-play, 50-yard field goal drive. Are you going to feel better about that? And again, maybe if you go down and score, you know, a 4-play, 80-yard touchdown drive or something, but you have no idea if that's the way that it's going to go. And then, by the way, because you are playing Jordan, you're going to want all hands on deck on your offensive line. You're going to want Christian to go out there for that series. You're going to want, you know, your top players to go out with Jordan. So now those players have to play. I just, to me, all hands are on deck for wild card weekend. All that's all you're fighting for right now is the wild card. This game means nothing. So I'm with the, if it is the decision that they're going to rest players, rest as many as you can. Get through this game with playing as few players as you can. The result doesn't matter. Like I said, it's going to be a craptastic game, Green Bay and Minnesota, with nothing really to play for. Let Minnesota win and knock them down the draft, you know, the draft order even more. That's a slight consolation prize there. So I think Green Bay's in the right decision-making mode there to just get ready for the wild card weekend. And I'm not really concerned about rust for Jordan Love at all. Matt LaFleur did state that Kamal Haddon and Jordan Riley are out for the year, by the way. Those were your injury updates for the day. And the other thing is just we get ready for Minnesota this upcoming week is, again, just how many players are they actually going to be able to hold out of this game? I think that's the other thing. They have an open roster spot already. We know that. They have two more now coming when they put Jordan Riley and Kamal Haddon on injured reserve. They don't need to sign a replacement for Riley because they still have 5 defensive tackles on the roster. So they can probably do some maneuvering there. They're going to need potentially 2 corners depending on what the status of Nate Hobbs is this week. Yeah, you know, which of the corners, you're probably okay playing Nixon and Valentine. I don't know if you even care right now. Like those two probably need to work out some kinks this week. So that's a consideration there. At safety, Zane Anderson got knocked out of last game. If he can't go, you've got Ketanji Adapo, and then it's Javon Bullard, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams. Who do you want to play there? You can only call up 2 players from the practice squad, so we'll see how that goes. At linebacker, you only have 4. So yes, maybe McDuffie and, you know, maybe you call up a Jamin Johnson or something, but again, there's only so many players you can call up. McDuffie and Hopper are probably your primary players, but you probably need at least either Quay or Cooper to be active for certain scenarios. And if you need 3 or 4 3 linebackers, et cetera. So you're going to have to kind of figure that aspect out. At, you know, offensive line, if Zach Tom doesn't play, if you want to get Aaron Banks some rest, if you don't want to play, you just get into this situation where how many offensive linemen are you going to need in this game? It'll be very interesting to see if Green Bay does in fact go in that direction, just how many players they can actually rest. I'll be very intrigued by that. Some positions are fine. They've got, 7 defensive ends. They can rest Gary and LVN and any other defensive end that they want, and Igbari if they want to, but some other positions are going to be very, very complicated. Matt LaFleur did get asked about whether or not there is a scenario in which, you know, they need to consider if Malik Willis gives them the best chance to win. And Matt LaFleur shut that down pretty quickly, as you would expect. Jordan Love is the franchise quarterback. Ryan Wood was the one who asked that question. He caught quite a bit of flack. Here's what I will say. A reporter asking a question does not, and I don't know what Ryan's stance on this is or anything like that, but a reporter asking the question does not mean that they think the question is a legitimate, like, scenario. I see all the time the beat writers get blasted of like, oh, you're too soft. You don't ask the questions that fans want to know or whatever. My guess is that I don't think Ryan really thinks that Malik Willis should be starting over Jordan Love or anything like that. But there is a whatever percent of the fan base that I have seen that thinks that Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love. And so if there's a portion of the fan base that thinks that, it's a fair question for Ryan to ask to be able to address that. And now when those questions are asked, to say, yeah, Matt said it's a non-starter. Jordan's the starting quarterback. So again, I know he caught some flack for that. I don't think asking a question that maybe a portion of the fan base is curious about is a bad question, even if on the surface, like for me personally, I think it's a ridiculous premise. I think it is a beyond ridiculous premise. And I love Malik Willis. I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to get a chance to be a starter next year, but I think it's a beyond ridiculous premise. But I would have no issue asking that question in a press conference so that then I can say, see, Matt said it's ridiculous. Jordan's the starter. So I want to differentiate there is sometimes when you're in the press conference, you are asking questions as the voice of the fans, even if that's not your personal opinion. I don't know what Ryan's impetus to asking that question was. I don't know if maybe that is something that he does believe that Malik gives him a better. I have no idea. My guess is it's probably not. But I would give personally Ryan a pass on that question. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking it. And again, I think the premise is ridiculous, and I would have no issue with myself or anybody else asking that question just so Matt gets to address it. So yeah, I will just put it that way. And I don't think there's anything off limits about what he asked. And it gives Matt the ability to shut it down. Say, yeah, it's a ridiculous premise. And he didn't say that word for word, but said, you know, Jordan's the unquestioned franchise quarterback. He's the starter. He wants to squash it, et cetera. So that was asked. It was addressed. Jordan Love, no surprise, is your starting quarterback moving forward. By the way, check out acmepackingcompany.com for Justice Mosqueda's article. I'm sure we're going to talk about this tomorrow as well. He's coming on with me today on Monday. We'll record on Monday for Tuesday's episode. But he did a great article on Rashawn Gary and just how bad Rashawn Gary's basically been. 206 edge defenders that have had at least, you know, the pressures or the opportunities that Rashawn Gary has had since 2018. And Rashawn Gary's got a quick pressure rate, which is a pressure under 3 seconds, on only 1.6% of his pass rush snaps. That is ranked fourth, there's only 4 out of 206 since 2018 that have been worse than Rashawn Gary since in that time frame. So only 4 that have been worse out of 206 different edge rushers that have had the opportunity that Rashawn Gary has had. It's brutal. He cannot get there. It's been the worst of his career. He had over 10% in 2022 before he went down with the ACL injury. And now he's at 1.6%. So basically 15 out of every 100 snap or every 1,000 snaps, 15 out of every 1,000 snaps, Rashawn Gary is getting a quick pressure on the quarterback under 3 seconds. That's crazy. If Rashawn Gary rushes the passer 100 times, he is getting a quick pressure fewer than 2 times of those 100. That it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. He has no quick twitch or burst or ability to get to the quarterback quickly in any way, shape, or form anymore. There's a reason why Gary received under 40 snaps this last game and was outsnapped by both LVN and Kingsley Enagbare. Check out that article over on acmepackingcompany.com. We'll talk about that again with Justice tomorrow, I'm sure, but that's a rough stat for Rashawn Gary. Let's get to our main topic today. What's gone wrong for Green Bay? Why has this been such an issue? I've got a variety of different things that I want to go over. We'll go through all of it. Let's start with number one. It's not an excuse, but isn't it in a way? Injuries are a part of the game. It's a war of attrition every year, and you've got to be able to overcome injuries. But specifically when you've got guys like Tucker Kraft and Micah Parsons, it makes it exceptionally hard to overcome that. But it's not just that. You have players that are out for the year, or at least in Marshawn Lloyd's case, likely out for the year. In Tucker Kraft, Micah Parsons, Elgton Jenkins, Devontae Wyatt, Marshawn Lloyd, John Fitzpatrick, Nick Neiman, Christian Welch, Travis Glover, John Williams. That's, what, 10 guys right there that are done for the year. You've had some other players that are contributors on this team, some in a significant way, that have missed big chunks of this season. Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Zach Tom, Brenton Cox, LVN, Colin Oliver, Brandon McManus. All have missed chunks of playing time that have hurt this team. You've had other players that have missed small periods of time, but also have not, you know, it's also been an issue. Jordan Love, Nate Hobbs, Dontavian Wicks, all have missed small periods of time that have hurt this team. And then you've had other players that, while continuing to play, have been banged up and clearly not themselves, players like Josh Jacobs and Aaron Banks. The injuries are going to affect everyone throughout the league. It's not just Green Bay, but it's not that you have injuries. It's how many you have and how impactful are those injuries. And when you lose on your defensive line, Devontae Wyatt and Micah Parsons, it is a huge problem. When your starting quarterback goes down, yes, Malik has been great, but that's a problem. When one of your best playmakers in Tucker Kraft goes down, that's a problem. And when you had Kraft, you were missing Jaden Reed and Christian Watson for a huge portion of that time. We never got to really realize the full potential of this offense because somebody was always hurt, whether it be Watson, Kraft, or in Wicks to a lesser extent, Jaden Reed. There's always been somebody out injured. So these have been major issues, and it's one of the biggest and arguably the biggest reason why Green Bay has not had a more successful season so far. So there's other issues too. I got 14 more for you, but I don't think I am, you know, being dismissive or you know, I don't think I'm using this as an excuse more than it should be. The injuries have been a major problem. They got snake bit. It is what it is. They've survived it to get to the playoffs, but their future odds of winning a Super Bowl or making a big time playoff run have taken a significant hit because of the injuries that they've suffered. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Number two, players have not played up to expectations. And I think there's a handful that we can really look at and say, yeah, those players just haven't played to the level that they need to be successful. We talked about Rashawn Gary already. This was supposed to be the dream scenario for Rashawn Gary. Micah Parsons is the premier edge rusher on one side. You get to be the number two. You can sub in with Enagbare and you don't have to play 50 snaps. You get to play 40 snaps. You're playing as the number two defensive end. You're not getting chipped and double teamed as much. Go out, hunt, get after it, play great defense. And he just didn't. And it's been worse as of late. And of course, now with Micah out, he doesn't get that benefit anymore. And it looks even more of an issue for Rashawn. And arguably, this past game was, again, I think, I haven't graded it yet, but probably one that's not going to be one of his shiny moments. Let's just put it that way. So Rashawn Gary, not playing up to expectations. I know he's out for the year now, but earlier in the year, Elgton Jenkins came nowhere near playing up to the expectations that the Packers had for him making that move to center. He was, as I'll just say, in the same realm of play as Josh Myers a year ago. And that was supposed to be the most easy upgrade on the entire roster. Other than, I guess, maybe Micah Parsons. But to go from Josh Myers, who's had three really just inconsistent years is probably the best way to put it. And now you're going to get Elgton Jenkins at that spot. What an unbelievable upgrade. And it wasn't. Elgton played basically the same way that Josh Myers did. Maybe the move to center was a part of it, but to me, he just did not look as engaged. He didn't look like Elgton Jenkins. He just didn't look like Elgton Jenkins. He did not play up to standard. Rasheed Walker. Now, Rasheed's had inconsistency issues throughout his career, but in a contract year, I was expecting to see the best version of Rasheed Walker. We didn't see it. Carl Brooks got a huge opportunity. Kenny Clark gets traded away, and now you see Devontae Wyatt go out. You get to move into the starter role, and Carl Brooks has not looked up to that task. And it looks like he continues to be a player that is really concerning with his ability to hold up in the run game. Just hasn't given you much as a pass rusher either. He hasn't played up to expectation. LVN is more complicated. He had the foot injury. I thought he looked good at the beginning of the year. There were some signs in this game, but on the whole, injury or no injury, you were hoping for a jump from LVN. We haven't really seen it, and we haven't seen the impact that you would ideally like from LVN going into his third year. Quay Walker, as of late, has not played up to expectations. Thought early in the year, he looked pretty good. As of late, it's definitely taken a dip. Contract year again. So there's a variety of players that you expected to be players that you could count on in certain positions, and it just has not happened. And Rashawn Gary, Elgton Jenkins, Rasheed Walker, Carl Brooks, LVN, and Quay Walker, all to me, definitely on that list. Number three is interior defensive line depth and just lack thereof. Now, this is partially understandable. In order to get Micah Parsons, you had to trade away Kenny Clark at the last moment. That sucks, but it doesn't because you got Micah Parsons. So it's a hit you're willing to take. And then, unfortunately, Devontae Wyatt goes out for the year. And you just don't have the pieces now to hold up at defensive tackle. If I told you prior to the Micah trade that by midseason, Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt would both be gone, you would have been like, oh God, they're screwed at defensive tackle. And they've weathered it for the most part fine. But here's the issue. Again, Carl Brooks is having major problems. And Colby Wooden, who is playing good football at the beginning of the year next to Devontae Wyatt, is now asked to take on even more of the role. And he's just wearing down. You can just see it. He's not at the same level he was earlier in the season because he hasn't played this much before. This is a big step for him to be the new number one defensive tackle in Green Bay, especially with added weight that he put on in the offseason. So you just do not have the interior defensive line that you need. And Goody probably should have done a better job, whether it was at the trade deadline or whether it was, right after they traded for Micah. I get you just put a lot of resources into getting Micah, but you slightly robbed Peter to pay Paul by stealing from your defensive tackle room to help your defensive end room. And at the beginning of the season, it looked okay because Wyatt and Wooden were playing well, but then Wyatt goes down with one injury, he comes back, suffers the season-ending injury. And now at that point, you've got Wooden, you've got Brooks, and you don't have much else. And this was a Ted Thompson-esque move of instead of trying to maybe go hunting a little bit more towards the trade deadline, maybe there just wasn't anything out there, to be fair. But in doing something, well, there was Quinnen Williams. They were never going to do that. But instead of doing that, they bring in Jordan Riley, who looked like a decent pickup from a practice squad, but not the answer you needed. Quinn Bohanna, not the answer you needed. And so you ended up with a defensive tackle room that, quite frankly, just isn't good enough anymore. And that's going to probably be a problem for this team, as it was against Chicago and Baltimore these last 2 weeks. So interior defensive line depth, a big problem for Green Bay. Number four, and I never felt great about the corner room, but I thought they were going to be able to get by better with Valentine, Hobbs, and Nixon. And there were at times, like again, opening the season against Detroit and Washington, it looked like they had it figured out. And with the pass rush with Micah, they were able to weather it slash get through it. But now, with no Micah and no legitimate pass rush, this corner room just looks like an absolute nightmare because you're asking them to hold up one-on-one more and they just can't. And Valentine's tackling is taking a hit. Nixon's coming off two rough performances. His game against Chicago was brutal. And the corner room just looks barren at the moment. Right now with the injury to Hobbs, with Kamal Haddon being out, it's literally just Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine and Bo Melton. That's it. Who's never played a defensive snap in the NFL. So corner depth slash issues with the starters, you're a true number one away is what it feels like. And you need that number one. And then I guess Nixon stays as your two. Hobbs is your, even that, you're just like, is that where we want this corner room to be? It quite frankly, it kind of feels like they've got a number three corner in Keyshawn and a number four corner in Carrington Valentine, or maybe two number threes. I trust Hobbs and Bullard can man the slot. I don't have much concern over that. You have the slot corners you need. I think you could probably do some sort of platoon with Nixon and Valentine to get through the other one, but you're a true number one corner away. And that's clearly a big problem right now. Number five is the offensive line took a step backwards. And I think this is on everyone. I think, and we'll talk about the mistake maybe with Aaron Banks here in just a moment. Elgton Jenkins was not himself. Zach Tom and his injury and the multiple injuries he's had this year, I think has played a factor where he's still been good, but I don't think quite as good as previous iterations of Zach Tom. I don't think up until maybe the move to center, and again, he had some bad snaps this week, but up until the move to center in a contract year, I didn't think Sean Ryan played up to par. We talked about Rashid Walker. Belton is interesting, but you know, he's a work in progress. Morgan's looked better at tackle, but early in the year at guard, he was it was really bad. So it just, to me, is an offensive line that, despite looking like getting upgrades is what it felt like by moving Elgton to center, getting Aaron Banks in at left guard, having Jordan Morgan in year two, spending a second round pick on Anthony Belton, Sean Ryan and Rashid Walker have everything to play for in contract years. You get Zach Tom, the big contract at right tackle. It looked like it was all going to kind of fit in place and that you had a multitude of options. And instead, it went haywire and it took a step backwards, and it's affected this team in a pretty significant way. Number six, you've got to be able to get big time production out of premium draft picks if you're going to make a Super Bowl run. And the recent string of first round picks for Brian Gutekunst, LVN, Jordan Morgan, Matthew Golden, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Eric Stokes. Those are the last six first round picks for Goody. Eric Stokes having a great year for what, the Raiders? Not great. Devontae Wyatt was having a solid year. Not what I would still expect from a first round pick who you picked up the fifth year option on and things like that, but a really good year up until the injury and he's out for the year. Quay Walker taking a step back as of late. Even when he was playing his best, did not match the description of a premium, you know, first round pick linebacker. I think Matthew Golden, as I've talked about, is going to be a really good wide receiver, but he has not had the impact this year at all that I think anybody expected. Jordan Morgan looks better at right tackle these last couple weeks, but on the whole, you're not getting great offensive line play out of first round pick Jordan Morgan. And LVN flashes here and there, some consistent playing time now, but still not a huge impact. And Brian Gutekunst deserves a lot of credit for finding guys like Tucker Kraft and Jaden Reed, obviously Jordan Love as a first round pick. And we can go on, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Edgerrin Cooper, finding Zach Tom in the fifth round. There've been so many draft picks that he is, you know, if Zach Tom would have been a first round pick, you'd be fine with it. Tucker Kraft was a first round pick. Like I said, Jordan Love was a first round pick. If Evan Williams was like a late first round pick, you'd be fine with that. The way he's playing, like they have multiple players that are drafted that are worthy of first round picks. So he's done a great job of making it, you know, up for it in later selections, but you have to be able to hit on a couple first round picks that can be premium level players for you, especially when Goody usually does go a little bit more big game hunting in the first round and he's just come up empty. LVN's a solid player. Jordan Morgan now is looking more and more like he can contribute on the offensive line. Matthew Golden, like I said, I think is going to be good. Quay's a starter. Devontae's a starter. That's fine, but you don't have anywhere near a Pro Bowler on that list right now. And that's a problem. And you just need a little bit more production out of your first round draft picks if you want to be a team that ultimately makes a run towards a Super Bowl. Number seven, you got almost nothing. Maybe that's a little bit aggressive, but you've got minimal impact from your 2025 offseason outside of Micah Parsons. Now, Micah Parsons is a big part of their 2025 offseason, to be fair, and that was a huge move for Goody. Unfortunately, he's now with a torn ACL, and everything else has not quite worked out. Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks have been bad signings so far. And it's going to be tough, at least the rest of this season, to get over what Green Bay spent for them. I think both of them are back next year. Maybe both of them bounce back in a big way. But so far, those contracts look really poor for what they've given Green Bay so far. They signed two small veteran-style free agents, Mecole Hardman and Isaiah Simmons. Neither of them made it out of training camp, or at least to the initial 53-man roster, right? The draft class, Matthew Golden has basically been like their fifth or sixth receiver for most of the year. Anthony Belton starting at right guard now. That's important, and that's a piece. But again, he's very much a work in progress at right guard. Savion Williams, few gadget plays here and there and some kick returning. Nothing super special other than that huge catch, against the Giants. Baron Sorrell, sixth defensive end right now. Colin Oliver, seventh defensive end, is yet to play a snap, just got activated. Warren Brinson, a promising rotational defensive tackle that I'm excited about, but is not quite ready yet. Understandably, he's a late round defensive tackle. Micah Robinson's a Tennessee Titan, and John Williams is on IR for the year. Your free agents in draft class in 2025, in a year where Goody said this is must win, it's time to start winning championships. The Micah Parsons was a deal of genius up until he got hurt, which you can't predict, but everything else came up short. And that needs to be better if you're looking to take that jump. And I get the book is not written on Matthew Golden and Anthony Belton and Savion Williams and Baron Sorrell and Colin Oliver, Warren Brinson. A lot of those guys I'm pretty excited about long term. But what you actually got out of them in 2025, in a year where you said it's time to start winning championships, hasn't been good enough. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Number eight, the usual predictably bad special teams. Some good things. McManus has settled in as of late. Whalen's been pretty damn good throughout the course of the season. Orzek looks like a legitimate long snapper now. Coverage units have been okay, but you have no kick return ability. You have zero punt return ability. You've had some catastrophic mistakes from missed field goals to blocked field goals, blocked extra points that have been returned for two-point conversions, missed onside kick recoveries. And at least as of a couple weeks ago, they were 27th in special teams EPA. 27th. So a special teams unit that was predictably bad, but has not changed, has not gotten better, and still is one of the worst special teams units in the NFL. Number nine is just, it seems like there's always been something that has just been holding this team back. When the defense holds the Browns to 13 points, the offense scores only 10. When the offense puts up 40 against Dallas, the defense allows 40. When the defense holds Philly and Carolina to 7 and 16 points respectively, 10 points and 16 points respectively, Green Bay scores 7 and 13. When you have a lead against Denver, Micah and Watson goes down and you throw a bummer of an interception on that play, and then the snowball just spirals out of control and it ends up in an avalanche that is now continued to be an issue for Green Bay. Run defense doesn't work against Baltimore. You can't recover an onside kick against Chicago. It feels like you're playing whack-a-mole. What you figure out one problem and then another pops up. You knock that one down and another pops up. It's just like there's always been something. Offensive line injuries at the beginning of the year. No Watson and Jaden Reed for a huge chunk of time. Oh, we get, Watson and Reed back. Oh, Tucker Kraft's out for the year. And then, Micah goes down for the year. Then Jordan Love misses time. And it's been like there's always been something. And even Detroit, you don't have Christian Watson to begin the year, but outside of maybe a couple of those games, early Detroit and Washington, where you actually got proof of concept of what this team could look like, it just feels like something has gone haywire ever since. Whether it's snake bitten or bad luck or season of death or whatever you want to call it, season from hell, just feels like there's always been something, and it sucks, but it is kind of what it is, and they've had to survive it. They've gotten to the playoffs, but again, we'll see what they can do from here. We'll be right back. Number 10, they continue to make their own mistakes and they continue to beat themselves. Whether it's been false start penalties, again, block kicks, missed onside kick recoveries, it's a team that has not gotten out of its own way. When they do get out of their own way, they look really good. They look very promising. A snap that goes off the helmet of Malik Willis this week. They continue to have these self-inflicted wounds that beat them over and over. And again, when they don't do that, they look, I don't want to say unstoppable, but they look phenomenal. But they just can't get out of their own way. Number 11, turnovers. In the Matt LaFleur era, they've been really, really good at winning the turnover battle. And this year, they're net neutral. They've only forced 13 turnovers, less than one per game. Now, they've only had 13 turnovers, less than one per game. That's good, but you're net neutral. You're not winning the turnover battle, which means you got to be kind of perfect in everything else, or at least you got to win everything else. And Green Bay just hasn't been able to do that consistently. They've got to figure out a way to do a better job of generating turnovers. Number 12 is they have not played complementary football. This kind of goes to what we were saying earlier, if there's always something, just feels like when the offense is going well, the defense isn't. When the defense is, the offense isn't. Special teams has never been going well, and they just have never worked cohesively together. Moments, Detroit early in the year, Washington in that second game. There have been some games here and there, but it's been few and far between, and it's been disappointing to see them not be able to play a level of complementary football that has led to more success in this season. Number 13, I'm not going to use this one as a major portion of it, but it's a small piece. They've just downright had some bad luck, whether it's injuries, bad bounces, onside kicks. And part of that is Green Bay screwing stuff up too. But the other one is like even field goal kickers against them are just not missing right now. It seems like every time the opposing team lines up for a field goal, extra point, they're just making everything. And, you know, yes, sometimes you create your own luck, but Green Bay's also been a little bit unlucky with some of the circumstances that they've been presented through the course of this year. Number 14, failures to have the ability to come up with those have to have it moments. In Dallas, they had the ability in overtime to go down and score on offense to go and win the game. And they had the poor clock management and had to settle for the field goal at the end. Almost blew it. Probably could have had that extra tick go off the clock. And if you do that, they would have lost that game. Against Cleveland, you have your own field goal blocked, and then you allow them to get into field goal range and kick the field goal. Have to have it moments. They couldn't come up with it. Philly and Carolina, they had multiple opportunities to get back in that game and couldn't do it. Denver, they had opportunities late in that game and have to have it moments to go out and tie or win that game. They couldn't do it. And just, you know, this past week, you know, not maybe critical moments, but again, fourth down early in the game, you can't get the yard that you need. Like those sort of situations all year long have plagued Green Bay, and those must have moments, they haven't been able to convert those, not at least to a level of consistency that leads you to be a high-end playoff/Super Bowl contender. Last but not least, number 15, they have not been able to play their best football when it matters most. Now, to be fair, when it matters most is the playoffs, and we don't know that yet. Green Bay wants to play their best football in January. Awesome. I would love that. That would be wonderful. But coming down the home stretch of the season against Denver, Chicago, and Baltimore, they have not been playing their best football, and Matt LaFleur seemed flummoxed by the fact that his run defense had no idea how to play run defense this week. You have to be trending up at the end of the year. That's why I said yesterday, this feels like 2024 all over again, where you're stumbling into the playoffs, have no momentum, and it looks like you're ready to be one and done again. They can flip that script still, but right now it's following a very similar formula to what it did a year ago. So those are my 15 things. And what's gone wrong? Just 15, you know, pretty significant things that have gone wrong for Green Bay. Injuries, players not playing to expectations, the lack of interior defensive line depth and just overall talent, cornerback room being as bad as it probably could have been, offensive line taking a step back, lack of recent first-round pick production, minimal impact from the 2025 draft and free agency classes, predictably bad special teams, just always something. Always something's just been going a little bit wrong. They continue to beat themselves. They haven't been getting enough turnovers, poor complementary football, some bad luck, failures and have to have it moments, and not playing their best football when it matters most. And you might be saying, Andy, don't you think some of that falls on Matt LaFleur, yet you didn't say his name once? Absolutely. Absolutely, some of that falls on Matt LaFleur. There's no question about it. There's a difference in pointing out, yeah, Matt needs to be better, and he needs to make some of the corrections that have happened here. Same thing with Goody. corner, interior defensive line, offensive line. You're never going to put together a perfect roster, but there are some weaknesses on this team. And we talked about, made some mistakes on the draft class slash maybe more so free agency at this point in time in 2025. So there is blame on Goody. There is blame on Matt. There is blame on the players. There is blame on the football gods and the injury roulette wheel and everything else. It has been a beautiful amalgamation of craptastic bad luck slash crappy situations and, you know, just lack of being able to overcome adversity and play your best football. And yes, Matt has a hand in that. Do I think it's fireable? Absolutely do not. Do I think Matt needs to be better in some of these situations and some of the things on this list? Absolutely. And as he would be the first to say, and has said it about a million and one times, it starts with him and it ends with him. And so he's got to do a better job of getting this team to the level that it needs to be. Goody set the bar. Matt and Goody so far have fallen short of that bar. What that means for everything in the offseason and what happens in the round one of the playoffs and things like that, that is TBD. But to me, these are the 15 things that have gone wrong, and they've got to figure out a way to get them going back in the right direction. They can't redo injury luck and things like that, but they've got to get some of these things going in the right direction if they want to have any chance to make any noise in the playoffs. That's it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you guys a ton. I'll be right back here tomorrow with Justice Mosqueda here later today at 1 p.m. Central Time with Mike Wall for Packaday Live on the YouTube channel. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelstinkel, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weiss, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, and Jake Kohner. See you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.